For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Talking about people in any sort of light is a part of life, right?
Yeah.
You know, everyone does it, even if it's not the right thing to do. It's something that happens.
Yeah.
My cousin particularly, really, if she is talking about someone or telling me a story about someone, she is constantly looking at her phone because she's scared that she'll accidentally call them and
get sprung. Oh, right, and start talking crap about them to them, which is fun.
Well, look, a hairdresser over in Sydney has got into quite some strife. Now, it is a flash salon.
Okay.
It is a place that the stars go to. It was a place that was doing a bridal hairdressing for the day.
So that's an important, that's a big deal, that one.
Yeah. Now, look, the bride was going to basically go with this hairdresser, but she decided to go with someone else, but all of her bridesmaids was getting sorted out by this hairdresser. Now, this hairdresser obviously was quite offended by the fact that the bride decided not to go with her.
Right.
And they had a WhatsApp group with all of the sort of, hairdressers or the other salon, the people in the salon. All of them are in this group chat, right? They have forgotten that the bride is also in this group chat. And this hairdresser has gotten pretty mouthy.
Okay.
She said, have you ever, like, sent a photo of the bride in this chat. Have you ever, worst hair, they missed out, idiots. The husband looks awful also. Those dresses are hideous. Like, really nasty, sort of vicious chat about this bride. Now, look, of course, the bride is receiving these notifications, seeing them come up.
Dummy.
Ting, 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 ting. She's looked down, picture of her, all this stuff. The bride has replied saying thanks. With a kissy face.
I like that. I like that. That's nice.
She's also screenshot it and sent it to the Daily Mail.
Well, you know, you got to do two things sometimes, and she's done both of them. Everyone's feeling bad there. So obviously the bride, not great.
Yeah.
Feeling bad. Person that sent it, they've done the wrong thing. Oh.
Oh,
not good.
Not professional at all. And we're not condoning that behavior.
No.
But as I said, talking about people.
Talking smack,
It is a little bit a part of life.
Just do it like how I do. When I talk smack about you, Davo, I just do it slightly to the left of you, where I hope you can hear what I'm saying, but it's not obvious and it's passive aggressive and you pick up what I'm saying. I'm like a normal person.
Yeah, really healthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but I want to talk about times that you've put your foot in it. Those times where you have been caught being not the best, or if you've been on the other side of it and you've caught someone out.
You can do it like it will, whether if someone overhears you in person, could be a reply all email that goes haywire, text messages, phone calls, accidental phone calls, because bloody, like all these smartphone technologies, you'll be like, oh man, how bad's Davo?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's your phone will go, all right, yeah, we'll call her.
Well, that's why my cousin looks at her phone if she's going to say anything about anyone. Have you ever done this?
Nah, I'm pretty lucky. I'm pretty lucky.
Lucky.
I know how to talk smack about somebody. Yeah, I'll just do it privately.
Well, one time I was texting my mum talking absolute crap about my sister, but I accidentally sent it straight to her and she was sitting in the other room.
Not worth coming into the room for. By the way, I think you were rude.
I was never more stressed in my life. I locked my bedroom door and just stayed as silent as possible. But look.
Let me in.
It's a safe place. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
52-232-955. When did you put your foot in it?
Yeah, it's a big foot and really in it deep. Sophie in Grovedale's giving us a call. Sophie, how did you put your foot in it?
Yeah, hi guys. Mine's story is a bit like Davo's. Basically, I was talking this girl on the phone to my other friend. We're bitching about her. I link her a photo of herself. This is on Facebook. And so I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, and she just replied, ?" And so I just replied being like, you look really pretty here.
Good save.
That was like, very smooth. Each other.
The question marks are the most aggressive form of communication ever. When you realize what you've done, like, are you feeling sick, or are you just like, well, that's not what I wanted. I'm going to commit.
I died. Yeah. No, I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't know how to save this. What do I do? So I had to just, because she went to my school.
Yeah, my stomach dropped the second I did it. I felt my stomach drop, and then I felt the temperature in my face rise.
Hot.
Top mercury. Not good.
No, Sophie. So you think that was like, as you said, you hated each other. Did that really just put the nail in the coffin of, well, this is not a friend?
it's horrible. And then she would probably send it around to everyone too, being like, what an idiot.
Or did it rebuild the friendship? I mean, you said she looked so pretty.
Yeah, nah.
All right. Well, that's a shame, Sophie. I can't really do much about that. Davo, Ava from the newsroom's marched in here. Good afternoon, Ava.
Hi, guys.
You've put your foot in it?
I had somebody put their foot in it with me.
Oh, I was on the other side. Okay, yeah. What have we got?
This was back when I was in year 7, so some good little 13-year-old drama.
10 years ago.
Oh, the worst. Yeah, oh, 13-year-old drama, honestly. Not I feel good. Trauma talking about this right now.
I know, it's really brought up a lot going back through these messages. I've gone and found it.
Oh!
Pretty much this girl's just sent a screenshot of our conversation back to me, and in that screenshot includes one of our other friends texting this other girl because she's clearly meant to send it to her, and it's them talking about me in another thing.
Ava.
And she just said, whoops.
Oh, so she didn't try and cover it up. She was like, oops.
Well, it's just she'd sent me a pretty mean message in the first place, so I think she knew. So I said,
Ava.
I said, yeah, whoops. At least I know where I stand with you.
Nice. Well, that's a nice, mature way to respond to that.
That's because my
well
mum made me send that. Very good. To say something.
Very good.
Very
honestly,
different.
13-year-old girls, that is some of the worst times that you could go through.
I mean, 100%.
Be nice to each other.
Can I just say, crazy that when you were 13, you could screenshot something? Because I would have to handwrite a burn when I was 13.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
And I believe it is this Friday, it would be the 27th of February, Davo, is the 30th anniversary, 30th celebration of our great friend, Pokemon.
Iconic.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go. I want to be
the
very
best, like no one ever and was. The anime. Excellent. Like the TV show, I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah,
like
man, cheese TV every morning. Or what was it, in the morning before
starting
aerobics. School?
Yeah,
no.
As well. Well, no, I didn't know as a kid how excellent it was.
No. But I used to watch it before school, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon. Yeah. It was a vibe. It was definitely of the millennial time.
100%.
And we loved it.
And the Pokemon TV show that was on Cheese TV, like a lot of people, it led me to Pokemon cards. It led me to the Pokemon games as well. The Pokemon cards, really, like obviously they're very high value now. We heard last week that one Pokemon card of a Charizard sold for like $16 million. I've spoken about it before. I try not to resent the fact or just resent my mother, don't want to get emotional, for throwing out my original in very good condition Pokemon cards a couple of years ago.
You know, I feel like sometimes when I feel bad about myself, I actually think it's because I gave away my set of Pokemon cards to my neighbours when they left.
The fact that you've made that choice
choice.
Like, at least mine was out of my hands.
Yeah, my parents were angry at me, so.
We needed the money, Lauren. I think this happens a lot, like, especially now. Like, maybe it's our parents' generation, Davo, that had this put on them. The whole mentality of, you got to grow up. You can't be playing games forever. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, you need to put down the Pokemon cards. You need to put down your Game Boy, your Nintendo DS, whatever it is. You need to grow up.
Yeah, I mean, being at the ripe age of 35, I am concerned that I haven't received that message yet.
You did say what you said today at lunch. I'm 35. Am I an adult now? I don't know what I am, but should I be an adult? But what I love about now and the year that is 2026 and the age we live in is you really, for the most part, do not have to grow out of these things. You don't have to grow up in certain aspects of your life.
No, I feel like we have all decided as a millennial generation that we do have free will and we can literally do whatever we want to make ourselves happy forever.
Like, I know when my dad and mum were growing up, probably marbles was their version of Pokemon.
Yes.
Just like, oh, have you got this blue one? Oh my God, crazy. But they had to put their marble bag away one day and they've never picked it up since. And that's the saddest story you've ever heard.
It really is. I think that is such a shame that the other generations didn't get to muck around like we are.
Yeah, like I think of it a lot. Like I've got a 2.5-year-old and I still play the same games that I did when I was 8 years old as a 33-year-old. And I just don't think Dad was doing that when I was born. You know, when he was 41.
No. Well, this is the thing. I mean, also you think about the age difference between like a 30-year-old back then to a 30-year-old now. They had 3 kids, a house, like, you know, probably a holiday home as well. They were that lucky.
But I've been thinking about, because this Friday they're doing a re-release of these games from the Game Boy Advance that I bought when I was, maybe 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's Pokemon Fire Red and Pokemon Leaf Green, and this is the original 151 Pokemons. It's a remake of a remake, and this is what I love. And this Friday, I'm going to be able to buy a fully brand new version of the game that took over my life from the ages of 6 to 10. No, like, it's crazy, Dave. Yeah. It's crazy that's what I'm going to be doing on my Nintendo Switch. I'm going to be playing, like, I used to play it in the night. I would have a plug-in adapter that would have a light so you could see the Game Boy. And now...
You're starting to sound like me when I talk about aliens.
I know, but it's crazy.
No, it is really
exciting.
And you
don't... I wanted to say this. We don't have to grow up. You don't have to grow up. You can be that child forever. Find your inner child and never let go.
Well, I mean, you are a husband and a father, so just be aware of that as well. You've got responsibilities.
I don't know if it's in the budget, but in it could be. Nah. And that's the thing.
It's good. Nostalgic.
Yeah.
Get on it.
Yeah.
This is Tim and Davo. The podcast.
In the morning, every household's a little bit different. Maybe you're able to wake up, it's a little bit chill. Maybe it's like up and at it straight away, multiple kids running around, or you're off to work, whatever it is. Every morning is a little bit different in our household. It's mm-hmm. my wife and I and our 2.5-year-old son named Jack. And we're trying to, you know, we want to get him into music. So every morning we take it in turn. It goes mum, dad, Jack. Who gets to pick the music of the morning? We chuck it on in the kitchen while we're having breakfast, getting ready for everything.
Have you introduced him to Limp Bizkit yet? Or
yesterday was Creed. He's a big fan of Creed.
One last breath, of course.
It was exactly
absolute
what he was.
Absolute ripper.
Yeah, he said again, and I was like, all right, man, I'll listen to you. But this morning it was my wife's turn to pick her music, and she is a super fan of one Elvis Presley.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go.
I picked the most up and about Elvis song actually.
I know, but it's so
there.
Beautiful.
And so I was getting some stuff sorted up the other end of the house, and I come back and my wife and our son, they're playing Play-Doh, getting ready for daycare. And I turn to my wife and she bursts into tears. Bursts into tears. And yeah. I'm like, what, babe, what's going on? And she's like, because this song was playing.
We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
So,
absolute cracker.
In the chorus there, Caught in a Trap.
Mm-hmm.
So Caught in a Trap's playing. Mm-hmm. And she goes, He was caught in a trap.
He was.
And he didn't know. And if you don't know the story of Elvis Presley, really, really sad story.
Yeah.
Obviously an icon, but
really... Go and watch the movie. A fantastic one. Yeah. Tom Hanks, a bit questionable in it, but give it a go.
But really was just controlled from a young age. And watching the movie, reading all the different books, knowing about his life, it makes my wife randomly, at any given time, burst into tears.
Oh, I can understand this one so deeply. Elvis Presley evokes emotions in a lot of us.
I
absolutely love the man.
I actually said to her, I was like, you need a chat to Dave. She's been to Graceland. She'll help you out.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's a really genuinely understandable one to have a cry over.
Yeah.
And just his voice in general would make you cry, let alone his story.
Yeah.
My God.
But like those moments where you like randomly cry, for some reason for me, especially around Christmas time, some Christmas songs do me or something.
Well, Tim, like I will be honest, like you have very like emotional eyes, and I do
ready
see
to cry
them.
At
they
any moment.
They water up frequently. Like a little bit of emotion can come into the show or anything, and I see those eyes. They're wet, man.
Big wet eyes. I know. But like, yeah, I've like lived away from family for the better part of 12 years, and Christmas songs do something, and like especially there's this singer by the name of Patsy Bisco, and she has this Christmas album, and when I hear it I get so happy, and then all of a sudden it's like a happy sad cry. I don't know what it is. Also, a couple of months ago we were at the supermarket and we were walking the aisles together, and there was an older gentleman standing looking at two different brands of like adult diaper deal, and we went around the aisle, and my wife burst into tears. And I was like, he's handling it like he knows what he's
yeah.
It's just a part of his life, I know.
Like, there's no need to cry at the elderly, but there is something within you. Like I watched an elderly gentleman try and order Subway one time, and I was just in the restaurant on the other corner of the restaurant, and the server wasn't being patient with him, and it was just horrible. And I was obviously having a day and I just burst into tears.
In the Subway.
Do you know what else makes me randomly cry? It'll be like Australian Idol auditions or like America's Next Top Model. Like I'm not
stories.
Sorry,
there's
not
stories.
Next Top Model. Definitely not Next Top Model.
Yeah, America's Got Talent.
Thank you. All there of those go. Sort of shows.
Like, here's my life story.
Yeah, I can't handle it. I can't hack it.
5223295. What randomly makes you cry? I want to hear things that just
tug at the heartstrings.
Yeah, just totally off center, and for some reason it hits you. Oof. Makes you quite emotional. Obviously, like sometimes when I'm talking about my son and my wife or my family, but that's not random. Like when you get I want Elvis Presley crying.
Mm-hmm.
I want these kind of things. I want standing in Subway asking for a footlong while you weep. Asking for marinara sauce. 5223295. Give us a call. What randomly makes you cry? Tell you what, my dad, John Lennon, like thinking about John Lennon being killed opens that man up.
I tried. The only thing, mate.
It's at a point where you're not allowed to bring up John Lennon anymore because
I don't want to feel feelings.
Yeah, pretty much. And we love you, Dad. And it's okay to feel love and it's okay to cry. But it happens for people. It happens for people. Random reasons that we cry. Justine on the Bellarine, what randomly will make you cry?
For me, it's bagpipes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I feel bad.
So no matter, it could be the happiest thing happening, the most joyous thing. Don't! The most joyous thing in the world, and I will just convulsively cry. I can't help it. There's something that just...
I think the bagpipes stir emotions in so many people. Are you Scottish descent?
From a long, long, long way back. But, yeah, it's just something, and it's happened all my life. I can watch The Military Tattoo, which I love, but I will cry from the start to the end every time a bagpipe. Stop it every time a bagpipe starts playing.
Justine.
I know you made me tear up.
It's a good tear up, right, Justine?
I love them, but they make me cry.
Oh, it's
they make me cry.
So understandable. My family whips them out at every event, and it's not good.
That's not this beautiful.
But I love them. They're beautiful, but they just make me convulsively cry.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tim and Davo, making you cry. Get it on a billboard.
Thanks, Justine.
There we go, Justine. We should get more baggies on the show. There we go.
The snare drums.
You want to hit it?
Yeah. Oh. I hope Justine's okay.
We're almost there. Get there together. There we go.
You're on K-Rock.
It's Tim and Davo.
Yeah, we want to have a chat about the Winter Olympics.
Still feels scary to say, but now that the closing ceremony has taken place, we are allowed to officially, if you didn't know, you're not allowed to say Winter Olympics while the Winter Olympics is on.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say a lot of words, like athletes and teams and there's like
games, all these things. But Australia did great.
Rings.
The best that they ever done, 6 medals in total, 3 gold. We love our Aussies. Jakara Anthony, Barwon Head's local legend. Give her the keys to the city already.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fantastic stats right there, but they're not the stats I want to focus on today. I want to focus on some of the other ones that have come out since the 2-week event has wrapped up. So they said that 1.3 million tickets were sold, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
They had about 88% of total capacity at every session, which is awesome.
Can I just quickly interrupt? Have you ever been into Olympic Com Games or anything like that?
No.
So when the Com Games were meant to be here in 20... So they were meant to be here this year before it got all fooled over. I was like so, I've always wanted to volunteer at something like that, and it broke my heart. It broke my heart, Dave.
I had some friends that won flights and accommodation and some tickets to go to the Olympics last year. How cool is that?
That's so
cool. Last year?
Yeah. What 2 years ago? What other stats have you got for us, Dave?
Well, look, you know, it was a huge success, but, you know, the big events always are stats around food, and that's what I want to go through right now. So apparently designing the menus for the event took over a year to organise. Now, there was approximately 1,500 athletes in the Milan Olympic Village, and I want to go through some of those stats. So, in the 2 weeks, athletes consumed about 60 kilos of cheese. That's per day.
Oh, per day?
So, roughly a ton of this cheese was eaten over the 16 days of the competition. They also ate 365 kilos of pasta.
Damn. I mean, after you finish your event and you can just carbo load, why wouldn't you eat 300 kilos of pasta?
Oh, mate, a dream. 10,000 eggs, 8,000 coffees. Oh, this is per day.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry.
It's
so much.
Per day.
8,000 a day.
Yeah.
So, that's average.
1,500.
Six or seven coffees a day each.
No.
Something's not right. That's
I'm just reading what I've been told here. 12,000 pizza slices. They have 1,800 meters of pizza. 4,500 breakfasts, lunches, and dinners were prepared. It is a lot of food getting done here at the Olympics. And just to give you a bit of a scale, if they stacked up all the trays that were used at each meal every day, it would be 60 kilometer tower.
That's wild. Can we, I know, like, I mean, it's 4:30, like, little ears probably not in the car.
Mm.
You know what they go through a lot of at the Olympics?
Well, this is just the food, but I did want to talk about their warm-up session.
Let's
when they
use
10,000 protective devices over 3 days. They took the warm-up seriously.
That is warm. Boiling. Can you just say that number again?
What, 10,000?
10,000 in 3 days, in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. 10,000 in 3 days.
I just think of all the super athletes that could have been.
Well, they need a lot of electrolytes.
A lot of Gatorade, a lot of Powerade. We love the stats. They're dehydrated. Get them some cordial, damn it.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.